So, Woody, you weren't a big fan of that call, huh? With under a second left, and FSU made the two free throws to win the game.
Is that what you got out of the update?
Is that what you're pretty much saying?
I don't have the same restraint as Coach Caputo, who came on the radio last night after the game and was able to avoid blasting those officials pretty good, man. What a joke.
What a joke.
I mean, you hit that shot. Yeah. Charlie Moore hits that shot. That should have been the game there. And just what a crap way to end a game.
Shoot two free throws to win sucks. By the way, I agree. Either side of that, and when it's your team, you take it and you go, oh, well. And if it's not your team, you know, you're salty like you are today. And
it just wasn't a foul, Joe.
Let me say this. Wasn't a foul. Yeah, so the other thing is, and you're right, you should never call that. Should never call that.
It's not a foul in the first half. The first 5 minutes of the game, that's not a foul.
So I will just say this. The good news is there's a whole bunch of basketball games left. It's not a football schedule. So I just wanted to let you know there's a lot of ACC basketball left. And they got a good team, man. They're for real. Went on the road and, like you said, thought they were going to get one last night in a tight, tight ball game. By the way, the Panthers, man, we got to give those guys some love. 5-2 win, 19-3 at home, 24-7-5, 53 points. Barkov and Reinhardt and Huberdeau and the rest of them, Big Bob with 42 saves. There's a lot of good stuff going on for people that really need a winner right now. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
There was a lot of stuff going on at that arena last night.
Well, there was some other stuff going too. Hey, man, if you have a rapper come to you and you invite him and you're going to treat him, you got to know. If you think he's just going to act like a normal fan, that's what you get. And people are looking up, and he's there, and people that know who he is. I guess he's pretty popular, not with me, but he's popular with a lot of young people. Yeah. Is he popular with you?
I don't know much of his music, but yeah. I know of him.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I know of him because he gets in trouble from time to
time.
Right.
He's in the news more for his. Yeah.
He's a veteran of the headline segment.
He's a veteran, but when you invite him to a game.
Well, you don't expect that necessarily, right?
No.
Right. I don't expect that.
You didn't expect that?
I did not expect.
What do you think? He was going to show up and be normal?
I didn't expect to have a camera pan up into the booth, into the suite, and see what I saw. No, I didn't expect that. Maybe expect a little craziness, sure. That, a little bit different. You expected that, like that to happen?
I expected that, and a big blunt smoking
that, that I expected. I expected maybe some smoking weed or doing this. I mean, I can understand that. That's fine. What I saw, I did not expect.
All bets are off those guys, man. That's like our man used to come on with and say, you know, part of this deal is about getting arrested from time to time. You know, when you're a rapper, man, the life of some of the great rappers of South Florida, part of the gig is getting arrested
from
time.
This is a little different, though, no?
So he just went into
I mean, the Panthers are not the only team that won last night, you know, like. Kodak won also.
Yeah, Kodak put on a Kodak moment, man.
He did. Well done.
Felt bad for the front office. They're all sitting there right next to him.
It's right next to Luongo, and all those guys are sitting there in the next suite.
Somebody had to be texted, hey Roberto, look what's going on next door, man.
It's publicity for the team.
No, it's publicity for him.
Right, it's not for them.
The team was trending last night. I mean,
They were trending, got a rapper to go to a hockey game, and went, wow, we got something rolling here, man. We're in good shape. All right. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to, and, of course, more articles coming out about the dysfunction of the Miami Dolphins. I got to give them credit because I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, had no idea that Chris Greer and Brian Flores weren't seeing eye to eye on a lot of different things that came out. And Barry Jackson had an article. Dave Hyde had an article. They got some people to talk and talk about the whole thing. And honestly, after getting a chance to read it all and listen to everybody's comments and everybody calling everybody else to find out what they thought and did you know and what do you think, so I still have a lot of the same thoughts. We got a weak general manager that can't make decisions. And so Brian Flores got a little power hungry, it looks like, and wanted to make more decisions and wanted to be able to make some of Chris Greer's decisions. Hell, I wouldn't blame him. He'd do a better job if he did do them. But I do love some of the stuff that came out that was really funny. Is apparently, so when we talk about Chris Greer, it's a good pick. Give Chris credit, and when it's not, make sure you blame Brian Flores for the pick too. That's kind of what I was able to get out of some of this. And listen, the Dolphins through the years have been one of the great dogpiling team on anybody that gets fired out the door. And then there's the great survivor, Chris Greer, who is one of the greatest survivors that we've ever had between his 20 years of work as an assistant GM, as a GM, but we should put some in front of the GM, though, because we have VP of Football Operations, and that title had more power than the GM title, but not as much as the head coach, unless the head coach gets to the playoffs or wins a game or has a winning record. I mean, we may want to sit down at some point and explain to everybody what their role is, because it seems to work on every other professional team here in town except the Dolphins.
Well, how many other teams have 19 different people that could be in charge at one point? You go to the different franchises, you kind of know who's in charge. With the Dolphins for years, there were always multiple people that are multiple decision makers. That's a difference also.
Well, let me just say this, and we have had a lot of titles for a lot of people, and who's got the owner's ear, and it has been. Look, it's been dysfunctional. It's been just what it sounds like, dysfunctional. And so we just need to maybe try and get everybody on the same page to figure out what everybody's role is going to be. And maybe Chris Greer can act like a general manager and have final say and actually take responsibility for picks, good and bad, and move on. And this is not about beating your chest, and I appreciate Chris doesn't do that. He never has. That's never been his style, and I do appreciate that. He doesn't have to go around and tell everybody what he does. But when I see GM, I see GM as in that's the guy that makes the pick on draft night, and it's a pick he feels good about, and he's not doing a pick to keep a coach happy. He feels really good with all the time and work and amount of money he's been given to do all the research he needs to do to make sure he gets the right guy. That would be the thing. So Barry Jackson had a lot of stuff. First of all, I guess a lot of my good friends did know about the argument at halftime between the coach and Tua Tagovailoa, and I want to get into that as well, because that popped up, and I'll be honest, if it was Don Shula, he would have done the same thing at halftime. He'd have been ripping ass on a whole bunch of guys that didn't play well. So you're going to go, well, that's old school. You can't talk to today's players like this. Okay. So Tua apparently said, hey, man, I don't appreciate you talking to me this way, and, you know, and you made your point, and apparently – you know, so if we want to get on Brian Flores, he's too tough on the players. By the way, terrible look for the players. Like, hey, listen, man, I know you're making more money now, and you guys have a little more power, especially first round picks. And
makes him look a little soft, no?
But yeah, come on, man. Like, let's. We've all had our ass chewed. Maybe today's young people have not had their ass chewed the way we got chewed. But
we're not an ass chewing generation.
No, we're not. No,
right.
We're not.
You're right.
No. But I do want to say this.
Flores is going to get another job, though. So well, obviously the problem isn't him. Like he's about to. I think he's going to land another job here, don't you?
Yes, I think his name's going to be up there. But I got to tell you, all this stuff that came out didn't help him. It didn't help him, and there may be a few teams intimidated by what took place and what said. And hey, I just want to warn you about Coach Flores. If he starts doing well, he all of a sudden is going to be looking to take your job and your power as a picking free agents and draft picks, and all of a sudden he's going to get Bill Belichickish on you. And it's like, so I don't know if that stuff true, but I didn't take that as a real positive look for Coach Flores. But I will say at the end of the day, Coach Flores was brought here to win games and get the most out of the group that he had. And I thought he did one of the best jobs we've done, minus all the drama and all the bullshit that came out yesterday. I was like, look, at the end of the day, did he get the most out of that group offensively and defensively? Did they quit on him? Was there anybody going in, and was there stuff leaking out, Cam Cameron-ish, ugly, this is dysfunctional guy standing up telling him he didn't know what he was doing. No. Was he a hard ass? Was he hard to figure out? I don't really care if a coach is nice to you every day or he's not. I play for that guy. I mean, he's not with us, so he can't protect himself as I sit here and tell stories. But he MFs people. God bless Coach Shula, but he MFed a lot of people.
I wonder, there are a lot of coaches that don't do that. I mean,
I don't know. The ones I played for did.
Right. I hear more stories about that than ones that don't. I just think the story looked, I mean, I know it looked bad for, in some people's eyes, you know, around the world about Flores and how he treats people. That's fine. But, man, it just, like you said, it looked bad for some of the players yesterday, too. It really did that players are complaining about this or that or whatever the case may be. I saw more players come out and were shocked. After the firing on social media than anything else.
So let me just say this, too. You're never going to have every guy like you.
Of course.
No, I'm telling you, on a team, there were most guys did not like Don Shula when they played for him.
I could believe it.
They respected the fact that they won games, and the guy was like, all right, he got a resume. I don't like the way he talks to me. There were stories. I think Dave Hyde, if people read Dave Hyde's story, he brought it up that Jimmy, Nick, and Coach Shula weren't the nicest guys in the world to you every day. They weren't like, hey, is everything okay today? Are you guys good? Good. Okay. That's good. Okay. Oh, hey, I didn't see you when you walked by me in the hall. How are you doing today? So some of that stuff came out and, you know, I never knew if he was going to say hello to me. And here's the one I love. He treated certain veterans different than others. Yeah, guess what? That's been going on forever.
Yeah,
I didn't get treated like Dan Marino. Did you expect it to be? He was my roommate. You expect it just because we are roommates, coach would go, hey, third string tight end, get out of the way so I can talk to Marino. Go have a crappy day, Rose. Hey, Danny, come here. I mean, come on, man.
Like, this is not breaking news, right?
Like, hey, Barry, I mean, I don't know if you were trying to write something soft or like I just want everybody to understand what this guy's like. The only soft guy's the GM. He's soft. He's a soft one. He apparently pleasing everybody and keeping his job.
No, that's how he's keeping his job.
So anyway, I just saw this stuff, and there's a bunch of other stuff I want to get to. I'm going to try to end it today and give it a rest after today with all this stuff that's being written and talked about. But I am going to make sure I get my therapy in today on this topic. But the other one has to do with Brian Flores and not knowing how to tank in 2019, and the team might have been mad about. We had it figured out at 0-7 to start, and we were getting our ass kicked, and then they put Fitzpatrick in. He almost brought us back, and we lost either in overtime or on a two-point conversion we went for, and it was incomplete, and we lost by. But it was obvious, and I still remember Coach Flores going in and telling his guys, listen, man, I just want everybody to know this because you guys are hearing all that tanking stuff that's out there for the first pick and to get Joe Burrow, apparently. And I just want to let all of you know we're going to friggin' play these last nine games to win. And the team got behind him, and that's when he said, I've seen enough of Josh Rosen. We're going Ryan Fitzpatrick, which, honestly, I would have done the same thing. And it would be easy today to go, yeah, Coach Flores really blew it when we put our plan together. He could easily just play Josh Rosen and sucked and won one or two games, maybe with that guy, maybe, and just kept Ryan Fitzpatrick on the bench, even though every guy on the team knew he was clearly the better quarterback.
That's how you lose the locker room, though, right?
You got no shot. If you do that and all those guys are going, wow, our friggin' coach is giving in to management on us losing every friggin' game. Why should I go out and practice hard when I know we're not playing our best player at the most important position? So I heard that yesterday, and Brian Flores, they screwed up, not making it clear, or Brian Flores refused to go along with the tank. Listen, man.
What kind of nonsense is that?
Yeah, it was.
That's something that we joke about on the radio, the tanking thing. Right. That's not a real thing.
So let me just say this. No, because it became a big topic yesterday.
You're still selling tickets, right? Games on TV. Come on. By the way, something we joke about.
You see the national media, we got blasted the way it started about Steve Young and those guys came out.
Hurt. Yeah,
guys are going to get hurt.
That's right.
Playing
we
those
were playing
guys.
High school kids right. or something. Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, some of the best work Coach Flores did his last nine games. Went five and four.
Yeah.
Beat the Patriots in the last game. I mean, it was unbelievable. And Fitzpatrick basically was the leader of that team and clearly the MVP of that team. And said, "Boys, I'm going to run over guys. I'm going to throw it up on fourth down. We're going to friggin' go after this thing to try to win. Screw whatever this front office wants. I'm with Coach Flo. We are going for it, man." So we missed out on, and so now everybody's making a big deal. We didn't get Joe Burrow because we could have easily, if we would have stuck with Josh Rosen, who's barely in the NFL right now, if still in it.
What kind of insane argument is that? By the way, Herbert's better than Burrow anyway.
Correct. And that's
isn't
my point.
Isn't he, right? Like,
so
it's close.
It's close. But I'll
take Herbert. It's fine.
I want to say this, though. This is the final part of it. So everybody's going to make a big deal about that, that maybe Coach Flores refused to go along with that. Which, God bless you, Coach Flores, because you're about winning. That's why they hired you, to win friggin' games. Not to cover up because a front office can't figure out how to draft guys. That's not your job, man. Your job is to coach up what you have, and you did the right thing, in my opinion. Now, the other part of this is, listen, man, we can sit here and talk about Joe Burrow all day, but as Woody just brought up, Justin Herbert's a story. See his numbers in first 2 years? And then I heard this yesterday, well, Herbert's not in the playoffs. Yeah, did you watch that game, the way he played late in that last game against Las Vegas? Yeah. Did you see the way he played like the friggin' best quarterback in the NFL?
He almost had 400 yards passing in that
fourth
game.
Fourth down is perfection of making clutch throws and everything else. So even after the Joe Burrow thing, you still had a 6'6", 245-pound guy that's putting up stupid Dan Marino-ish numbers in his first 2 years. And still could have got it right. And by the way, if we're doing this and we're going to just blame Brian Flores for everything, which I'm not going to let happen, no matter what you think and whatever his shortcomings. And yes, he was really nice to me the whole time. And he was, yes. Always treated me with respect early in the morning. I'd see him. Guy got up early like I did. Had obviously a little sleeping problem on Sunday mornings. But so I'd see him. We'd talk. But the other one he gets me with this organization, again, with Chris Greer around, don't forget about Josh Allen. It was a lot more doable, a lot more doable. If we're going to start going around blaming why we don't have one of these great quarterbacks, don't forget about Josh Allen. The Bills were picking behind us, and somebody had basketballs and said, the kid from Wyoming, who you guys say sprays it everywhere, is playing with a bunch of school teachers. They're going to be teachers after this year because none of them are going to be playing in the NFL. That guy is going to be really good in this league. And they jumped up from 12 to 7, jumped right over the Miami Dolphins and took him and said, we got our guy. Ballsy.
Well, they had vision to do that, but the 2020 draft, they had vision just to take potential guys.
So
that's the difference also.
It just there's just a lot of different stuff that just tells me.
There's dysfunction everywhere.
Does anybody have the experience? Does anybody have the basketballs to go out and take a guy that doesn't necessarily go to Alabama, take a guy that goes to Oregon, even though we got burned by Oregon? We got burned by a defensive end because of somebody else. But Chris had nothing to do with that. He was assistant GM.
Sure.
For that one.
Right.
But we'll never know. Because we'll never know how he feels about anybody except all he ever says is Coach Flores was aboard on that pick. He liked him too. Okay. Because you don't take responsibility for anything. Well, I wouldn't either if I was guarding as protected as you are, man.
Well, he doesn't have to. Nothing's going to happen anyway.
All right, listen, we got to go to a break here, but just wanted to get – I feel better from just doing that over the last 7 or 8 minutes for people got up early. And if you're rolling your eyes, I apologize, but it helped me feel a little bit better. We got a lot more stuff to get to, including a couple of guys that lost a lot of money over the last week. We'll have that story for you when we come back. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be? Come on, everybody. Why can't we be friends? It can't be that hard. want some of your power.
That's one of the reasons why we can't be friends.
I want more say for free agency. But why can't we be friends? God bless them, though. They kept it quiet, man.
They did.
They did a fantastic job of keeping it quiet. And, of course, if it ever gets ugly, I've always said this, especially with the Miami Dolphins, you always want to be the GM and not the head coach, because when he's down coaching, you got a chance to be up before the game. You run down there and meet with the owner and meet with everybody else. Always in the best position, man. Always.
Can I ask you a serious question, though?
Yeah.
You obviously talk with a lot of your former teammates. You don't have to name anyone, but what is the reaction like from these guys when they hear all this nonsense? And you played for a no-nonsense guy. I get that.
But 100%.
What is the reaction like when you talk to these guys who are all old-school guys like you? Like, what is their reaction to all this, like, drama, nonsense, whatever this stuff is?
So let me just say on behalf, because everybody knows who the guys are, and
I say you don't have to say any names.
Yeah, but it's
but I do know who your friends are. Yeah, most people know who your friends are.
Right,
but,
so, right. So let me
just
say,
group them all together here.
None of them reached out to me yesterday. It was like I was a bad disease. It was amazing. Ooh. It was amazing. All my guys that I had dinner with just the night before the game, a beautiful, unbelievable dinner. Had our wives and girlfriends. And I didn't hear from any of them yesterday. It's amazing. All of a sudden.
Wonder why.
All of a sudden, I'm guessing most of them were running and hiding and just saying to themselves, please leave my name out of this conversation today. That's all I want. You're on your own because you got a big mouth. You're going to say what you think you need to say, but leave me alone. But I don't think they like a lot of things that are going on. If they could be honest and not worry about corporate America, I think they would all be very disappointed. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I'm not saying. Yeah, there is. As again, you know, said on the road and it's said privately, and everybody's got their own opinion. We don't agree on everything either.
I just want to hear you guys that played with Shula about a coach gets fired for being too tough or whatever. I just can't believe
it. I got to tell you.
MFing guys.
I almost called Barry. Like, Barry, do you understand the MF is part of the vocabulary of, like.
I mean, if it was for Shula, it should be for anybody at this point.
So I'm always careful that, you know, Coach Shula passed away.
No, things have definitely changed. Things have definitely changed. But, like, still, I mean, talking about the highest level of professional sports.
Right.
There was just amazing accountability back then for how you played. And you could get called out running off the field, which usually you did. The guy didn't miss anything, and he called you out, good or bad. He'd give you a little clap if it was good.
Right, okay, it's fine.
He'd chew you out right there on the spot. And by the way, that would usually be the first of a couple because you're going to get it in film study. It was going to come up again.
And you knew it was coming back.
And he had notes on everybody's screw-ups. And or run it back and then call you out in front of everybody, right. Which is one of the most humiliating things to call you out in front of.
Yeah, you just tried not to be in that conversation again.
Not very good, and you drop the ball, and if you do that, why do I have you on the team? And say that in front of all the other receivers.
But can you not do that now? Can you not, you know, rip a guy now? Can you not go over film and
tell
a guy he's doing bad now? I don't understand.
I think we do know this. And it sounded like Coach jumped to, and there were a lot of people that confirmed the story, jumped him at half in that game, like, what are you doing? You're friggin' horrible. You're horrible in this game against Tennessee. And I'm sure he was frustrated with everything else. The defense couldn't stop the run. But they're still around. They're still hanging around, even though they had no offense. And so he went after the quarterback. I think we saw a couple of shots during the game. He went over to the bench, and it looked like it wasn't a real pleasant conversation there either. So I saw it as I was lying in bed, and I went, it didn't faze me. I didn't go, wow, write that down. Coach just went over and looks like he is letting Tua have it for his play.
It's going to be a storyline now, right?
I just thought, yeah.
And he's plainly stinky. What does it matter?
I'm going to say this. I can't talk for every coach, but Dave Hyde hit it right on the money. Jimmy Johnson, Nick Saban, for a short period of time he was here before he realized he couldn't coach in the NFL, and Don Shula, we're going to call you out, and you're going to get treated differently according to who you were. All three of those guys had that in common. Not that they all liked each other. They did not. But I've always said this about Jimmy Johnson. I like the fact Jimmy Johnson said one thing that stuck with me through all the years of being around Jimmy Johnson, and that is everybody gets treated differently by how good you are. And so when he said that, I went, wow, he's right. Coach Shula did it too. Coach Shula called a majority of the guys out, but, and we had to talk about this the other night, and I said to Dan, I said, he never chewed you out. I can't ever remember you getting chewed out.
Not the way you or anyone else.
No. Now, listen, the guy was rookie of the year and MVP, like bang, bang. It was a little different.
Yeah.
You know, going in early in his career, and the numbers he put up were record-breaking numbers at the time. And Nat goes, no. Because Nat sat up there with those. He got his ass chewed. And Danny goes, yes, I did. And I went right back at him. And the reason he did, because he could.
Right.
Especially if he thought he was right, especially when you're a good player. It's a little different. But we all agreed, you know, everybody gets treated a little bit differently. And so,
but it's in all sports, I think. It's not just, you know, it's everywhere with superstars.
So I would think that would be the case, although, you know, I just saw some of that stuff and some of the reporting. And I know we're, you know, like, Joe, stop it. It's 2022. And look, it, I haven't talked to my four kids the way I got talked to. I didn't have the – and listen, they're much better kids. I was most of my kids, I can't speak for all four, and I don't want to go into which ones.
Right, don't do individuals.
But right. Most of the kids were good kids. They were really good. They did what their mother said, because they have there's some kids with different moms.
Multiple, right.
So and I was thinking, yeah, they're good kids, but, you know, they both clearly, the mother said, you know, I just want to let you know, we don't spank. I know you were spanked, but I'm not going to allow spanking of kids. And I went, oh, I don't like that.
That's different.
Like, yeah, I still got marks. So
we're not bringing up the nuns and the rulers.
So I was walking yesterday, and we got to that. Somebody else saw the article, and there's a, you know, you never know who you see walking over at Vista View. We might have to do a segment, Vista View Walking. And the
you should
topics,
put one of those GoPro cameras on and walk around.
And
right.
The conversations that pop up, but that old school, new school. And I go, oh, hell, like I said, I'm soft on my kids. And we were laughing, you know, that, yeah, times have changed in the way. And if you were to ask everybody out there from our mixed bag of what we have here in South Florida, I think most people would say, just to tie in with Tua being upset the way the coach talked to him at half. I think that most of the parents would say, yes, my parents were a lot more tough on me than I've been on my own kids.
Okay, normal.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would think so.
Would he?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Well, times have changed. You know, that's just what it is. You see what's going on in the world right now. Can't yell at somebody without getting in trouble for it, no.
Yeah, no.
Forget about spanking someone or having someone in the school spank.
But
cursing.
But that's the progression, though, like how it works, though. Like every generation thinks the one after it is soft. Like,
right.
That's just how it is.
Right. But this
I don't
is
know
just,
if that, but I don't know. Know if that's true. But that's like how everyone looks at everyone else. Like, you just like, oh, the kids younger than me are soft. They don't want to work. Like,
oh, we had it rougher than they did. Yeah,
but
of course.
There are a lot of these guys on the team that have grown up and never. I'm not saying their fathers didn't raise their voice or their mothers didn't raise their voice, but they didn't get old schooled. They didn't go, what the F are you doing? That's the dumbest effing thing I've ever seen. Mm. And it better stop now, jerky. You know, like.
Right. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just different times. Hollywood's right.
I thought my father broke me in pretty good, gave me a good idea what the real world is going to be like till my first employer. Don Shula. Then I realized.
Yeah, you had a rough, man, with those two. you know? I don't know much about Papa Rose, but I can imagine.
Listen, I would just say this. If you didn't read both articles, Barry's article.
Well, Barry had nine of them in the last day and a half.
But you ought to read Dave
Barry's
Hyde's.
Head's been on fire, man.
Literally.
I like this text, by the way, 772. Tua better not learn Spanish because what is said about him around the city, he will cry.
Yeah, but like
we're very diverse down here.
The way Tua was playing, like, what do you think the coach is going to do? Like,
well, that's
come
the
up
thing.
To you at half and go, "Hey, Tua, can you play better in the second half in this cold weather, or is that what I'm going to get? Because we got to score some points."
It's just bad timing for that to come out with the last three games that he put up. Like, it's bad timing for that to come out.
So as you read that article, because I was sleeping when the article came out, and then my phone started blowing up, and old people can't even take a nap anymore.
No, you can't.
So anyway, Barry's got an article. Barry's got an inside article. It's got a good lot of stuff. Matt Taylor was in there.
Right, Matt made it.
Matt made it,
yeah.
You know, and so some people – so I was like – so I was good. I was going back, and Barry did a good job of like, "Hey, we want to let you know about Brian Flores, get a better idea what he was like. He was power hungry." And the other guy was running to the front going, "He wants my power now. I don't have any power. He doesn't want to work with me." And so I was going back and forth, and I was like, yeah, it makes everybody look bad.
It does, right.
It just makes –
well, it makes Flores look like what you said, like this guy was running around looking for his power, but it also looks terrible for Chris Greer, how this was all happening, and what did he do? He literally ran to the principal's office and told on everybody.
Yeah, but who came out with coach, like, "I don't know some days if he's going to talk to me walking
right
down the hall"? I don't know. I'm sorry. I still remember our short little hall, and it wasn't always friendly. I'm sorry. And matter of fact, the mood was kind of around the way we were playing. And Shula could carry that around.
If you were losing, you weren't going to try to have a conversation.
And if
with
he
him.
Got you one-on-one for something that might have happened 4 or 5 days earlier, he might light a fire under you right there just to get you fired up, like, "Oh, you seem a little relaxed here. Maybe getting cut, you won't be so relaxed. Pick it up."
Handful of texters this morning are asking how he dealt with Saban for 3 years and couldn't handle this. Like, well, I mean, I'm guessing Saban is really rough on his players. I'm just going to guess. Like, once I'm sure he's really nice to you before, and then once you sign on that dotted line, I'm guessing he's pretty
that's
brutal
a great
on
question.
His players,
he stepped over
right?
Dude, right?
By the way,
he was having a seizure, right?
That's a great text. I thought the same
multiple
thing.
Multiple people have been saying that this morning.
No, I was like so if Tua got upset about, and I'm guessing Coach Flores might have cursed a little bit in there. And so
does Saban not curse? Is
yeah,
that his thing?
I mean, come on.
I mean, come on.
I don't know. I mean, I know.
Saban could, yeah, he could.
So
he
was unfriendly, right?
How many bad games did Tua have at Alabama, though?
But that's true. But the other thing is, it's a little easier when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, knowing that guy is your ticket to the NFL.
Right.
And you put up, by the way, this is why a lot of those guys like college better. And a guy just got fired from Jacksonville's in that group, too. You can talk to 18, 19, 20-year-olds
right.
And call your mom upset, and she goes, "That's your ticket to the NFL. Don't blow that thing."
Yeah.
That guy's got it going right now.
It's true.
And Tua's sitting there with a guaranteed contract with about $25, $26, $27 million already in his pocket going, hey, can't talk to me like that. I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. Apparently it was said in front of the team. It's the guys that were there.
There's a lot of soft spots.
He's not getting another contract, that guy. I hope he invests his money well.
I'm sure.
Anyway,
he does, yeah.
Listen, we got a lot of stuff. But, yeah, that kind of opened up things. And I speaking of Alabama, we've got some news that we didn't have a chance to get to. We're going to come back and talk about 2 first-round picks. Speaking of Alabama, ACLs, how much money – are those 2 receivers, some said the top 2 receivers in the draft, did they lose after an unbelievable season and the one guy gets hurt in the friggin' second quarter of the last college football game?
Terrible.
The only thing he was getting ready for after that was a 40-yard dash
That's right.
He was going to fly, and that was it, and that came to an end. We got to take a quick break. A lot more stuff to get to here. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
All right, Fins fans, join the Miami Dolphins in the fight against cancer with the 12th annual Dolphins Challenge Cancer on Saturday, February 26th. Sign up to participate in this year's run, walk, or ride and raise funds with the DCC, which donates 100% of participant-raised funds for innovative cancer research at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. Find out how you can get involved. Register today and donate at DolphinsChallengeCancer.com. That's DolphinsChallengeCancer.com.
Big event. Into next month for people who want to get involved and start raising money, and a cancer era institute over there at Sylvester is just doing fantastic work, and it just gets
come a long
better
way, that place, yeah,
and better, and it's gotten bigger, and we shattered records last year raising money, and we're going to try to do it again, and we're going to be trying to do at least one, maybe two shows that we'll be auctioning off to come in for a couple hours on a Saturday or a Sunday morning, maybe before the playoffs, and come in and talk about your company or talk about your favorite sports. It's basically, it's your couple of hours. And I'm just in here to kind of hang with you a little bit and do it. So it was a big hit last year, and hopefully we'll get some more people interested in that this year so we can raise lots and lots of extra money.
12th
for
annual. Wow.
Yeah. Mad Dog, that every time I hear that, that's we lost Mad Dog, man,
yeah,
years ago.
That
went by, super, super fast, man, to say the least. All right, so we've got a lot of stuff going on here, and I don't want to take away from the Panthers, who just continue. I mean, my God, they've come back from that 13 days off, the COVID break, and have just played out of this world, pounded Vancouver. It's 2-0 before you blinked your eyes last night. Went on to
pounded
19-3 at home now.
Did you do that intentionally?
What's that?
Pounded.
Yes.
Panthers pounded the Canucks. Yeah.
Yes. They
banged the Canucks.
They hammered them.
Hammered them. They railed them.
They went doggy on them. You want to want me?
You,
bring
no,
it
I saw you were like tight roping the line, and then you
no.
Pounded
right,
was great.
Off, yeah.
Hollywood, you had to push it, but Pounded was
he
great.
He knew I was going. Right, right. So listen, they're playing great. They got a couple more home games coming up Friday and Saturday. I call it no excuse, man. You want to go see something that's good, that's well run from the top down. They got a GM that's got his act together. They've got a coach that's come in, and we didn't know how that's going to go, and they haven't missed a beat. 19-3 at home. And if you like all our sports teams, this Panthers team, along with the Heat, obviously, who continue to always have their act together, playing really, really well right now. All right, so we've got a lot of other stuff. Yeah, I've been talking about the Barry Jackson article, and he had a lot of different parts to it yesterday, and his sources were telling him, don't blame Chris. If you're going to give Chris, get on him. You got to get on Coach Flores because he was making decisions. And so I see that stuff, and I'm like, well, Chris, why the hell do you have a GM title? Like, what do you do? Like, well, I kind of like this guy. You don't? Okay. Well, wait a second. You and your staff, millions of dollars, not to mention what we pay you millions of dollars, and you don't make decisions?
Right. You're the general manager or you're not.
Like, put your big, big, big boy pants on and go, hey, guess what? My neck's on the line, too. We got to find a quarterback. We're taking this guy. I know it's not as popular. He doesn't look the part right now. And they spent a time. They spent a bunch of time. See, the thing about the – and not to pick on – because I said I was done with the Justin Herbert, and I promised Woody yesterday I was done with Justin Herbert. He belongs to the Chargers.
It's okay. Do what you got to do.
And he's
man.
Not coming back. He's not coming back.
But no matter what, it's always going to be brought up in conversation.
But
maybe they'll trade Tua for him.
But right. I just want to say that I get it. One guy was at Alabama's always a safe pick because they just got a whole bunch of good players running around there. But it's those guys' jobs to have vision on a big, strong guy, no matter how he throws it. You got to look at everything and his potential and. And it wasn't like we didn't spend as much time with Herbert as we did with Tua, because we did. We went to both those guys' games. We didn't do it. Coach or Greer did.
Right.
The owner did.
The owner was with him, right.
Owner went to some of those games. Yes, he did.
You got Barry Jackson for that one.
So I just, you know.
You think Chris Greer was laughing all the way home yesterday? Like, I got away with this again.
I think Chris Reeder's been laughing for 20 years at this point. What kind of – you talked about job security just now. He's got the greatest job security in the world. This guy could do no wrong.
There's no GM that could make
he
that.
He whiffed on that, three first-round picks, and he still got his job, and they fired the coach. Come on.
You know the other part of this? It just proves that being a good guy and the way you treat people – pays off. And by the way, that's not sarcasm. I'm telling you right now, you guys may out there be working with somebody that doesn't do their share of work, but he's really a good person. Everybody likes him. And he keeps his job. And even Barry writes, yeah, he's great with the owner when he comes into the games. He's down there with them. And he's good with this guy and everybody in the office. He's got time. He says hello to the secretary in the morning. After Coach Flores blows by her.
Doesn't say anything to her. Right?
I've been dying to say that. I just was dying to say that.
So this is the, like the Little Debbie story all over again, right? Except there's no specific Little Debbie in there from Nick Saban.
I just think that the Nick Saban is the greatest story of all time. Like somebody actually having a memo sent out to everybody in the corporate office back in Davie when they're all working together over there. This goes to everybody. Do not say hello when you walk by Coach Saban in the morning. He doesn't want to feel like he has to say hello to you, and he's not real friendly about wanting to. And, of course, the stuff comes out, and Saban's like, oh, I didn't know it was, you know.
Right.
It was the other jack-off that was there for a long time.
Scotty O'Brien.
Scotty O'Brien.
Yeah.
The worst human being to ever work in the organization.
I don't know if you ask other people. It looks like it's Brian Flores now, right? Huh?
Boy, I'll tell you what. It looks like you're trying.
Jeez.
Looks like some people that were talking to Bear were trying to get Coach Flo some votes. Listen, this job, it's a cold business. It's not about being liked. People want you to friggin' win, and that guy won.
Right.
That guy won more than a lot of coaches we've had. Even though it looked rough, and you know, I did yesterday. I take it back. I did talk to one of my former teammates.
Don't mention him.
And we were talking about, can you believe, like, Coach Flores was, like, saying, hey, I want your power. Like, I want whatever power you have on free agency and the draft. I want final say. Like, and I was going, no, I can't even see it. Like, I get that he wants. And by the way, Adam did the same thing. Adam went 10-6 in playoffs, and he came back. And he wanted more
power.
He wanted more power.
Right.
I get that. Like, you want to get it why it's there to get.
Of course. I get it.
And, you know, the team's, well, listen, we'll work with you a little bit. I mean, you've earned a little bit, but, you know, and then, you know, and it doesn't go well, then everybody's all upset about everything. But this guy, he got a lot out of this team. He got a lot out of this team. And I know he was rough on the offense. I know he was rough on coordinators. I know he was rough on offensive line coaches because I know a couple of them real well. I know it wasn't easy. It's a hard group to get five to get to play together at a high level with a couple of good backups. So you when you do lose one or two guys, it doesn't fall apart.
They also weren't very good, all those things you just mentioned in his three-year tenure here. The offense wasn't very good. Well, when Fitzpatrick was here, they were scoring points. When Chan Gailey's running the offense.
So a lot of their points, you know, though, Zach, and even what they scored, 19 points a game or 20 points a game, it was a little misleading because that defense set them up with a lot of takeaways.
Defense was
excellent.
In really
good field position. Right. Look, we've been a defensive-driven team for most of the time since he's been here. Even the second half of the year, they got real good on defense with that group of guys that we didn't even know who they were that first year. They played their ass off. But
isn't it expected when you bring in a defensive guy to run your team? Isn't it expected also if you bring in an offensive coordinator or a former offensive coordinator that your team's going to be a little bit more heavy on offense? Don't you expect that when you hire a guy like that?
I think they feel, even though they don't realize it, I think they feel more comfortable, especially when you go from being a defensive coordinator to a head coach. And you know, especially know how the offense is going to work. And again, I think Coach Flores didn't feel as comfortable. He might had an idea what he wanted to look like, but he was never involved on the offensive side of the ball to have a good feel for. And I don't think it's by accident we're talking about Brian Flores was a defensive coordinator, and his defense is really good, a lot better than the offense. And speaking of that, the names are out. Brian Daboll, Mike McDaniel, offensive coordinator for the 49ers. Nice offense. Dan Quinn, who is hot right now, and it'll be interesting. Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator has done a great job turning them around, and boy, do they have a lot of talent on that defense. Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, and Vance Joseph, who's been here once before.
Oldie but a goodie, right?
With Adam Gase, if I'm not mistaken, and had a nice defense, especially the year of the playoffs. So
out of those five right now, if that's your final five, I don't think it's going to be your final five, but who do you like the most to get this job? You like the guy with experience? Or you like the guys that are pretty hot coordinators right now? Quinn's got experience. Vance got a little bit of experience. The rest of the guys are looking for their first time, right?
I'm numb to it. I know Brian Daboll's got a relationship going forward if Tua's the guy because he was at Alabama. He was offensive coordinator there.
Do you do that just because of that reason?
The problem is I don't think this is a coaching issue as much as it is a personnel issue. Like, I just don't know how much better you can get with the players that you have.
So the part I
think Flores got the most out of those guys. To be honest, who cares who you bring in? You're going to go with the same offensive personnel.
I do feel like Coach Flores went, wow, I know what I have with Tua. I do
almost
think
dropped
all that
the Rosen
stuff,
line almost.
I think he's like, okay, and the other guy is going, well, I'm the one that's going to get blamed for taking this guy. I think we can still get more. Let me sell some of the franchise here that there's more we can build around him, which, by the way, is true. We if we get better at some other positions, although, Chris, you don't know what the hell you're doing on the offensive line picks either. But if we get better in other stuff, then we can be better. And so that's all those coaches that are looking at that job. I'm guessing not too many of them are going to turn the job down. There's only 32 of them. Anyway, we got to go to break. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up. We'll continue on here with all the drama. Why can't we just all be friends, man? Why? There's got to be a reason. We just need to be friends. We got a lot more.
Everybody wants power.
Everybody wants power.
Right.
Everybody wants power. He wants my power. My freaking power.
Run to the principal's office.
I got $70-something million, and you want that, too, for free agency?
Come on, man. Feel better with that than Chris.
Come on. But I guess if we do it together and it doesn't work out, I can blame your ass, too. A lot of different ways to go. All right, hey, let's talk about something that's really good in this town that's affiliated with the Dolphins and the Heat and the Panthers and Inter Miami. I am talking about Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Baptist Health South Florida, which, by the way, just continues to get bigger and better. But this sports medicine program they've put together, they've got some of the top specialists that have come in from different parts of the country to work together with one goal, man, with all this great experience and success to get you healthy. Achilles, knee, shoulder, ankle, back, hip, and knee replacement. That's why when people, hey, where do the pros go? Somebody in my family, sure, and I get that. Everybody wants to go, like, who's taking care of our athletes every day when they get injured? And it's nice to say Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, and the Dolphins all trust Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute because of those great specialists for every part of the body. Nothing against the other doctors. I know we got good doctors in this town. There's a lot of you went to the same med schools and stuff. I get it. But these guys, they work on high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, but for athletes that come in from all over the country. So the next time you have an injury, go to the best. Go with somebody that's got great experience to help you. And by the way, in-house physical therapist to really speed this up with the doctors working together with one goal, get you healthy as quickly as possible. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho and make an appointment today.